Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday. Crank it up to 12. Pick a song, we'll play it as loud as you want it. Well, it's 12. That's the maximum volume. Nolan McGraw is waiting for you. Plazaport text line. NCAA season ended last night. Dirty deeds done against Houston, maybe? Or did they do themselves in? And, of course, the Maryland basketball program been in the news. I don't know if you've been sleeping under a rock for the last couple of weeks. Here to talk about that, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline, Maryland legend, still the all-time leading rebounder in the history of Maryland basketball, longtime NBA standout, and of course, just an awesome dude altogether. Len Elmore, Len, good morning. What is up?
Hey, Bob, you tell me.
Yeah, well, a little of this, a little of that, as you know, Len Elmore. Before we get to Buzz Williams and Maryland, I saw Paul Feinbaum kind of took a shot at Buzz, saying that the guy that replaced him in Texas A&M is a better coach than him, but we'll get into that. You played in one of the most heartbreaking games, certainly in the history of Maryland basketball, in the history of college basketball, the 74 ACC championship game. You're number 4 in the country. You lose to NC State. You don't even get invited to the tournament because there weren't enough teams. Those were the rules. Last night's game. That might not even have been, Len, the worst loss in Houston championship game history going back to 83, but you can relate to that pain. So how are those kids feeling today with a little time to reflect on what happened?
Well, I mean, I'm sure it's still hurting, and you know, you're always going over what ifs, and you know, particularly the shooter, you know, the idea of going through the motion, you got to get a shot. And I think that if he went through his full motion, he might have gotten fouled, because he got the defender to commit. So I'm not sure what happened, and I'm sure that's something that they're talking about. But, you know, I think eventually they are proud of what they've accomplished, and that'll sink in pretty quickly. The fact that they did get to the finals, there are guys who can come back, and you know, they'll come back with renewed vigor, if you will. I feel worse for the guys who are done, because that was the feeling that I had, my fellow seniors had, that, you know, we're done. That was our last shot. And it lives with you. I mean, even to this day, it's what could we have done? So, but that's all part of growing up. That's all part of life. And, you know, you utilize those pains and those disappointments, utilize them to kind of inform how you live the rest of your life.
Now, Len, Florida went through Maryland to get to the championship in the Sweet 16. And, you know, the lead into that game itself was all about Kevin Willard and Damon Evans. Full disclosure, I don't know how often you listen to Vinny and Haney, 10-2, 105.7 The Fan on your Odyssey app. By the way, Len, just throwing that out there for you. But they would come on the show, and they're pleasant people, nice guys, not like we're personal friends with them. But that thing kind of exploded almost overshadowing the tournament itself. It's certainly Maryland's accomplishment. So as you're watching it in real time and the drama that's been part of it, and certainly with Lembaya's passing and Maryland being on probation, they've been through the ringer and then some as a program. But watching it happen as it was happening, what was Len Elmore, the Maryland alum, thinking about all of that soap opera stuff?
Well, first of all, so much of it obviously was past history, but, you know, that's from which you learn. And, you know, one of the things that really struck me is that, you know, we're still not learning. We're still afraid to think out of the box. We're still afraid to, you know, make decisions that, you know, may ultimately prove to be, you know, a positive move going to the future. But we'll never know because we don't take that risk. You know, it wasn't a risk to, after so many mistakes prior to his arrival, it wasn't a mistake to get someone like Gary Williams, someone who is an alum who is comfortable at Ohio State, but, you know, Maryland was able to get him there, and it wasn't a mistake or a problem for Gary Williams to kind of look forward and say that this is the only place that I want to be. And regardless of the chaos that he encountered and inherited, you know, he was able to make something out of it because of the continuity and realize that the longevity was going to make something. And what did it culminate into but a national championship? And you know, we look at our history and we see the many things that you just recounted, and we still don't learn. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, people who have influence who want and believe that, you know, success is going to come now. And I know this is a different world. This is a different environment in college sports where it's like pro sports and in many ways worse than pro sports, you know, where players are going to be mercenaries simply because they're going to the highest bidder. But, you know, there are some programs who sustain, and a lot of them that they sustain because of the continuity they have in leadership, both in the athletic department leadership as well as on the team leadership. And I'm hopeful that, you know, at some point we're going to realize that that's the case. Now, if Buzz Williams turns out to be the kind of coach that people want and expect, then that's great. I just hope, again, he understands the need for continuity and a leadership development of players who and people who want to be at Maryland. But overall, I mean, we've made those mistakes over and over again. I just hope that this latest episode isn't another one of those mistakes.
Len Elmore, Maryland legend, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, talking some college hoops with you. Turning up Tuesday, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. If you had your choice, Len, as to what Maryland guy could have taken over for Willard, Dwayne Simpkins, of course, took American U to the NCAA tournament, you know, 3 years. 4 years at Maryland, 3 tournaments, 2 Sweet 16s. Steve Blake threw his hat in the ring, one of the great Terps of all time himself. Who would you, if you were asked to suggest, who would you have suggested for that job?
I'm not sure that I can make that decision right now without doing some research. Sure. I also believe that, you know, young coaches like that, you mentioned Dwayne and others, maybe they're not absolutely ready to take over a program the size and significance at Maryland. So maybe they need a wisdom transfer. You know, why not think out of the box? You know, one of the things I noodled on and kind of ran it by him was, you know, why not get a coach like a John Lucas, who's an NBA coach. He's still an assistant coach with an NBA team. But he has a camp where you look at so many of these guys, and I would suspect that, you know, some of the players from Houston, players throughout the country who are well-regarded, went through his camp. And John has recognized that, you know, NIL deals needed to be done, and he helped parents through those things. You know, his significant contacts on those areas. He doesn't want to coach much longer. He's 70-something years old, but you know, you've got other coaches who are that age. Rick Pitino is 73 years old. A year or two under, you know, a coach like that with maybe a young coach like Dwayne Simpkins or Steve Blake or someone else as associate head and ultimately gets that wisdom transfer and is ultimately ready in a couple years. I mean, that could have worked as well. But, you know, we just don't seem to have the patience to do that. I would suggest when people who are naysayers you take a look at John's son, Jay Lucas, who is now the head coach at the University of Miami. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, he worked for Calipari, and he did. Yes, he worked under John Shire. Yes, he did. But do you think for those several years that that's where he got his wisdom, that's where he got his chops to the point where he's hired as the head coach of a major Division I program? You know, I would suspect it's his old man is the one who delivered that wisdom and gave him that understanding of the game. So, you know, and I said that is not necessarily a direction to go, but it's something, it would have been something to think about in thinking out of the box, because what we've done over and over and over again is hire itinerant coaches that, you know, quite honestly have given us some taste of success, but not a taste of continued success. So again, that example I gave might not be the answer, but it was something to think about.
Hey, Len, you know, like part of the problem could be, you know, like the AD leaves, so you kind of got a rudderless ship. Then who's in charge? Who's leading the charge? Is it the president or is it the biggest money guy? You know, who is doing that? Because are they getting their guy who they want instead of, like you said, maybe doing their due diligence on, you know, a Lucas and, you know, Maryland type guys?
Well, I'm not sure, but I would say that when you take a look at the evidence out there, and, you know, common sense would tell you that, you know, there are people who have a great deal of influence over the program and seem to be getting their way. You know, it's quite evident, you know, when you take a look at the evidence on a circumstantial basis that, you know, there are people who contribute an awful lot of money that may be having an outsized say in how the program is run. And, you know, in many instances, who knows? And I'm not indicting anybody, but, you know, there's a fear that those people will pull away if they don't get what they want. I understand that. But at some point, somebody's got to, you know, make a stand. We got an opportunity for a new athletic director as well. You know, do we go to the same pool of the same types of athletic directors that we've seen over, you know, a significant number of years? And, you know, when was the last time that we had an athletic director with ties to the University of Maryland? I mean, some people look back and maybe that was Jim Kehoe. You know, that was a number of decades ago. But, you know, you also had sustained success under that type of athletic direction. So I don't have the answer for that. I do know that there are a number of Maryland alumni who are interested in the job, who are high-level executives, one in Major League Baseball, another in the NBA, and there are some others out there who have the expertise as well. And, you know, the college sports is becoming more like pro sports, if not even worse, in a wild west type of situation, that may need that type of outlook as opposed to the traditional college sports outlook. But it's worth, you know, identifying those types of people, interviewing them, and see if there is a fit. So when you ask who's leading it and who's making the decisions, I'm not sure. But at some point, you know, we've got to be able to find people who want to be at Maryland, who have Maryland at Maryland's interests at heart, and who are willing to stay. You know, this is their last stop. And again, I use Gary as an example that, you know, that was his last stop. He had opportunities to go other places, but, you know, he was coaching his alma mater, and, you know, he brought greatness.
Len Elmore, speaking of greatness, still the all-time leading rebounder history of University of Maryland men's basketball. Part of that all-Maryland front court for Larry Brown in the early 80s with the Nats, Albert King, Buck Williams running wingman to Len's. He's the top gun in that one. Len, appreciate the time as always. Tell everyone real quick what Len Elmore is up to in semi-retirement, at least from a broadcasting standpoint.
I currently teach the business of sports at Columbia University in the sports management department. You know, it's been fun trying to mold the minds of these potential C-suite dwellers in the business of sports. You know, my experiences, I look back and said, you know, I've got all of this institutional knowledge, having run some companies, having been an agent, having been an athlete, and wonder, all right, what am I going to do with it? And so the best thing to do is to utilize it to develop the next set of leaders. So, you know, my hope is that they retain some of what we're teaching out there and going forth and, you know, set a new paradigm in leadership and sports, because Lord knows we need it.
So you mean buying scratch-offs is a bad way to go? He's Len Elmore, the great Lenny Elmore. Len, always good to catch up with you. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Len. Thanks, Len. You guys take care.
Len Elmore, everyone. We'll come back. Got to take a whip-around trip. Stuff going on in the world of sports last night, including Florida winning the national championship, some NBA fun, and what happened in this day historically. A couple of Orioles news tidbits for you going way back. And one of the great, Ovi beats Gretzky, the other unbreakable record in baseball was broken on this day way back when.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax. For a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport, every game,
everything. Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Time for the Whip Around. Here on this Turn It Up Tuesday, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Last night, men's national championship, Florida 65-63 over Houston. Florida down 12 in the second half. Overcame that deficit, obviously. Houston couldn't get a shot off. Their last couple of possessions were not what you wanted to do. Walter Clayton III, he was the most valuable player, or most the MOP, most outstanding player of the NCAA tournament, as he was brilliant and made the defensive play that sealed the game for the Gators. And as we talked about in the first hour just with Len Elmore a couple minutes ago, as heartbreaking as that loss was for Houston, that wasn't even their most heartbreaking loss in championship game history. That was Lorenzo Charles at Albuquerque back in 1983. Only a couple of games in the NBA last night. It was Miami 117-105 over Philly. Tyler Hero had 20 points there. Khalil Ware, 19 points, 17 rebounds. Haywood Highsmith getting the start because Wiggins is banged up. Baltimore zone, Haywood Highsmith. Archbishop Curley giving the Friars a shout-out. 9 points, 3 boards. Sacramento came from behind to beat Detroit. 127-117. Zach LaVine at 43. Sabonis had a triple-double. So Sacramento, they're in that hole. We talked about it yesterday. The 10 teams in the East are in. You got your 6 playoff teams, then your play-in teams. In the West, it's kind of sorted down to 10. They're just looking at seeding right now. It's OKC. Houston are probably 1 and 2. Lakers are 3, but everyone else, there's 4 teams with identical records. Phoenix is on life support right now to get into the play-in. tournament. We'll get into the NBA stuff in due time. Capitals Thursday night at Carolina. We'll talk to Joe B. bottom of the hour. Top two teams in the Metro. All both have clinched playoff spots here. Capitals are well ahead of them in that situation in the division. But question is, which team is playing better heading into the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Both Carolina's lost two in a row as of late, Bob. They're 6-4 in their last, and the Caps have lost what, 4 or 5? You know, so the Caps are not playing good, which bottom line is they're not. And Joe B will probably tell the same thing. I mean, they played with no energy this last game. And against Chicago, they kind of lucked out and won the game where Ovi got 2 goals. But Chicago's a bad team. And, you know, the Islanders were fighting for their lives and kicked the crap out of them. So, yeah, they got to step it up. And like I said before, and we'll ask Joe B, you know, how long Protas is going to be out. And, you know, so that's going to be a big one. And then with the goalie, too. You know, I mean, injuries at this time, you got to have a hot goalie going in. You got to have a hot goalie going in.
Whip around, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. NFL draft coming up in 16 days. First round anyway. Ravens 27 picks. Or 27th overall pick. 11 picks total. We'll talk to Kevin Allstriker around 12:30. Get his thoughts on that and everything else going on in Ravens land. So stay tuned. This day in sports history. Orioles 2012. Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Birds beat Minnesota. It was Easter Sunday. J.J. Hardy went deep. Wilson Bettymeat, 2 ribbies. Jason Hamill, no hitter through 7. I was there. Me, my wife, and daughter. $200. Even back then. Go to a damn Oriole game. I was like, I've never seen a no-hitter live and in person. Didn't see one with the Orioles won. Jim Johnson got the save. 2014 in the Bronx. Orioles club the Yankees 14-5. Jonesy, Delman Young, Matt Wieters all go deep. Wei-Yin Chen gets the win. 1975, Major League Baseball history. 50 years ago in old Cleveland Municipal Stadium. Frank Robinson became the first African-American manager in baseball history. And on top of that, hit a home run because he was the DH. How about old Robbie penciling his name in the lineup? But he went deep as the Indians, as they were called at the time, beat the Yankees 5-3. And on this day, 1974, it was on Monday Night Baseball. A young Bob Haney was watching it. This happened.
1 ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting. The outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone. What a marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world.
Vin Scully on the call. Hank Aaron, home run number 715 off Al Downing. The Monday Night Baseball call, however, which you could find, I'm sure, on YouTube, was Kirk Gowdy, Tony Kubek, and Joe Garagiola. So that's the one that I saw. But, of course, Vin Scully was the broadcaster for the Dodgers for many, many years. By the way, Braves won that game 7-4. That took place 51 years ago today. We'll come back, talk about the other record that was broken, that was unbreakable. That was Wayne Gretzky, Joe Beninati. Talk about Ovi and the Caps. And, of course, look ahead to the Stanley Cup playoffs, trying to get themselves situated for that. Then a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw. Turn it up Tuesday here on The Fan. Monumental Sports, Joe Beninati. Joe B., good morning. Appreciate the time as always.
Bob and Vinny, happy to do it. That was one heck of an afternoon on Long Island for sure. I still think I'm shaking from time to time, and I have to remember that it's not a dream.
You covered it in real time, the entirety of it. You were the voice when they won the Stanley Cup 7 years ago, so you talk about still in kind of a dream-like state. Do you look back and you know, watch greatness, one of the great players in the history of the sport, and also one of the most consistently good teams in the NHL as well?
Yeah, they've been one of the flagship programs for the league for a long time now, guys. And yeah, you could trace it back to 2004 when they were lucky enough to win the draft lottery and draft Alex number one overall. Had to wait a year for him to arrive. Had to wait a couple seasons for he and his teammates to really build up into a perennial playoff contender and Stanley Cup contender. And yeah, in the last, probably the last decade, assuredly in 16, 17, 18, they were right there, fingertips from the Stanley Cup. Luckily brought one of those back home to D.C., but arguably could have won more there. And now the matter of fact is we were all consumed by this Ovechkin great chase for so long. It's now in the rearview mirror. It's accomplished. It's an unbelievable feat. But what matters now for Alex and for his teammates is to get back into a winning groove. They've not been playing well. You know, they afforded themselves some luxury there in that they played so incredibly well for 5 months that they ran away with the division, ran away with the East. But it's time to get back on that level playing field and get back on their best behavior. And I fully anticipate Spencer Carberry and this coaching staff will have them there.
And you know what? During that ceremony, during the Islander game, I think Ted Leonza said it. You know, now it's time for us to get back and try to go win the Stanley Cup because, Joe B., as you said, other than that goal, they stunk. I mean, they looked like they were sleepwalking.
And they've been doing that for a while, Vinny, and that's the issue. And I think a lot of this has to do with the amount of energy and effort that was put in to get Alex across that finish line. And not only for himself, but for all the players, it's been for weeks the first question and probably the next five questions in any press conference or scrum or everywhere we go from city to city. What about Alex? Can he do it? Will you do it? What will happen when he does it? It was weighing heavily on them. And I think now that Alex has achieved this crowning moment for himself, I fully anticipate him as one of the captains and one of the true leaders of the team. That's the central part of the leadership core. Those guys will look at each other and go, hey, congratulations, this was awesome. Now let's go get it for the team and for the city.
All right. Now, Joe, two big questions in my mind. Logan Thompson and Protas. What is the prognosis for them?
Yeah, that's the scary thing, right? For the better part of 5 months, Vinny and Bob, they've been healthy. And that's one of the reasons why they raced out to 49 wins and 107 points. They were incredibly healthy, especially along the blue line when they were playing the same six defenders. I want to say it was close to 60 games in a row. That's almost unheard of. And then all of a sudden now you've got your starting netminder banged up a little bit, and you've got perhaps, I would think, unquestionably the most improved player in the NHL banged up a bit. So I think Logan comes back before Alexei Vinny. I think Logan will be back before the end of the regular season. I don't expect Protas to be around in that time frame. They're talking week to week. Oof. I think there'll be more light shed upon that, but that's a huge loss, figuratively and literally. He's been so good and so consistent. And to have it happen the way it did, it was sort of freaky in that Chicago game. Logan is going to be, I think, back well before, and I think this is a good thing. You know, I try to look for the silver lining in these things. I think it's a good thing for Logan to get a little rest, both mentally and physically. He was as good as you could find, guys, in November, December, January especially, when I believe he was the NHL star of the month. He was so locked in. And he'll tell you, he'll be the first to tell you, the last few weeks or so he hasn't. He's lost a little bit from the game. And I think there's some things that have been nagging at him. And I just imagine that this is a good time for him to get refreshed, because I'm confident they're going to push him as that number one once we get in and find out what the matchup is for the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I know the team has a full belief in Logan's ability. So the faster he can get back, the better.
Joe, I mean, if the playoffs were today, they'd be playing Montreal, who's won five in a row. And, you know, I mean, Marty St. Louis, the coach, they got a young team, and, you know, they got nothing to lose.
Correct. Fast, a goalie who can get hot in Montembeau, a crowd base in a city where hockey is religion. You know, you don't have to have a super long memory to think back to 2010, when arguably the Caps are going to do the same darn thing and come in as a number one seed, face a Montreal team that'll be a second wild card or a number eight seed, and that one didn't go so well. So, yeah, Washington will have to be on very good behavior. I anticipate whomever they get in that first round will give them and push them. That's just the way it is in the NHL. There's no walkovers. And if you get past that first round, odds are you're likely to see a Carolina team that manhandled them last week. And I hope Washington is ready for a little bit of revenge and return engagement on Thursday night in D.C. when we will honor Alex for $8.95 and then hopefully turn the team loose on the Hurricanes. That'll be much more representative of the way they want to play come playoff time. But yeah, Montreal is an interesting mm-hmm. squad and rounding into form at the right time. They have, you know, they'll be naive from a playoff standpoint, but they'll have some speed and quickness that can threaten you.
Now, it was good that Joe B was back. I was happy that he was back for, you know, the call and everything else. And, Joe, I think Ryan looks like he belongs. You know, I mean, the goal that he got on the empty netter, he showed good speed and, you know, and his toughness. He's been hitting people. So, to me, he doesn't look out of place. And I like what I've seen so far from Ryan.
Man, I know you know your college hockey talent, Vinny. I know that. For very good reason, I know that. When I look at Ryan, he reminds us a little bit of a player who plays bigger than he is, similar to TJ Oshie. And he's a better, I think TJ will tell you, he's a better skater than Oshie, but he plays big. He's not afraid to throw his weight around, and he's not the Tom Wilson-sized athlete. So he maximizes what he can pack in that 195-pound frame, and he'll hit you. He'll wallop you. Mm-hmm. He's a good skater, and from what I've been told and what I've seen all season long at the college level with Boston College, I mean, he scores like a madman. He led the nation in goals. So when I watch him shoot in morning practices or skates or pregame skates, you can tell he's got offensive gifts. There's a reason he was drafted in the top 10, and the Caps are going to see it sooner than later. This has got to be a whirlwind for him. After getting knocked out of the NCAA tournament, after all of the success in the World Juniors, this is the most hockey he's ever played. And I think, you know, it's going to be interesting where Spencer Carberry slots him. I think he's got to stay in as long as Protas is out, but that's for the coaching staff to decide. But what we've seen so far, I think, is very promising.
Joe Beninati, voice of the Caps. Caps 5 games left. Resume ice time Thursday night. Taking on Carolina down in D.C. Joe B., always great to talk to you. Congratulations on being part of greatness. And we'll be watching. And hopefully the Caps got a nice little run in them here coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, let's hope. It's been fun being part of this soundtrack, guys. I'm honored.
Joe B., everybody. Joe Beninati, voice of the Caps. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Funhouse next. Nolan McGraw. News from the Nest. Top of the hour. Talk about that. Kevin Allstriker, USA Today. Ravens wire at 12:30. We'll count some money, hopefully at 12:15 with buy or sell. Talk about
give them. You a little tease, Bob.
Yes. We counting?
We're counting.
Oh, nice. Nolan McGraw. We can get that six-pack of beer and not have to worry about not having cable and electricity for another week. We got draft profile number
no
two.
Eggs.
No way. Hey. I'd rather have beer than eggs. We got a wide receiver talk going to Arizona and up on lunch. American League East Report 115. Orioles win last night 5-1. Talk more about that. And Matt Weirich's with the team, Baltimore Sun out in Arizona. Zach Eflin left last night's start after six innings. Shoulder fatigue. The Orioles do get the win, much needed win, and actually hit a home run and got hits with runners in scoring position, field of their position. Very strong night out against the Diamondbacks. Unfortunately, the Eflin news probably overshadows it for now. Right, Nolan McGraw? What's happening?
That's right. I mean, nice win last night. We still have our reservations about the team overall. Offensive inconsistency, the Eflin situation could significantly change the pitching staff here for the immediate future, but I gotta give a shout out here to this bullpen, because that was an area of this team all through the spring, really through most of the offseason, that I think I was the most concerned with. That can they really do it again? They've made it work the last couple of years. They seem to have a way of gathering these unknown names at the time, and all the pieces click and they get pretty good results outside of a shaky closer situation last year. But so far through, you know, 10, 11 games this year, bullpen's been fantastic. Haven't been called upon for the save situation, as you've noted, Bob. So the leverage, you can make an argument there that it's been a lot of lower leverage stuff. But for guys like Gregory Soto to be working clean, Sir Anthony Dominguez to be working clean after the terrible spring that he had, for him to flip the switch like that, This has been very, very surprising to me. Again, it's only 11 games, and a lot of their success is probably going to depend on, you know, how the starting rotation holds
and
up.
And let's see a save situation arise.
Right,
too.
But I think when we get there, based on what we've seen so far, you're pretty confident that they're going to get the job done. I mean, we haven't seen anything that would lead you to believe that, all right, it's a one-run game tonight, Felix or whoever's out there for the last couple of innings, that they're just going to implode. I haven't seen anything that would lead me to believe that that's the case.
There's one guy scuffling, and I was reading this morning, outside of C&L Perez.
Right.
The bullpens are in run averages like 1.5, mm-hmm. and they were scoreless last night. But let's see that high leverage situation, because the mountain pitched last night, so did Dominguez and Soto, or Cano did.
Right.
Last night. So, save situation tonight. Who gets the rock? You already said you're not back-to-back in Bautista, mm-hmm. so I'm guessing Dominguez probably would get the call if it gets to that point.
That would be natural, and it'd be a big moment for him. I mean, just the way he was down the stretch last year, they didn't have anybody else, so they leaned on him so heavily, but he just wasn't cutting it. And the only reason you hung around with him is because his name wasn't Craig Kimbrell. I mean, anybody not named Craig Kimbrell would have been a good option for them last year. It doesn't mean that Dominguez was good. He just wasn't Kimbrell.
Well, to your point, bullpen's been very strong, and Eplin 3 quality starts. We'll find out what his status will be over the next few days, dealing with the shoulder. Charlie Morton, big start for him tonight. You got to give him some quality, Charlie Morton. I mean, you can't go out there and get pummeled like he's been first two starts of the year. And the 10 strikeouts are great, and his velo's not bad, baseball term. But effectiveness now has to be part of the reality here.
And he was brought here to eat innings, to go deep. But for tonight, obviously you want him to go as deep as possible.
Innings, go deep.
Right. But if he goes 5 tonight, 2 runs or less, just stabilize yourself. Because the last couple, what's been bad about his last couple outings, it's not just the raw stat line. It's that he's putting the team out of the game in the first 2 innings. And all of a sudden, this offense that's been struggling to find consistency as it is, they're in a 3-4 run deficit right out the gate. That's not helping anything. So, I mean, if he only goes 5, again, you're not over the moon about that, but keep your team in the game, for God's sake.
Well, if he leaves and it's 9-2 Orioles, we're cool with that.
Right. Absolutely.
I mean, because seriously, what's more quality, air quotes, 6-3 runs or 5-2 runs?
That's a fair point.
Yes.
Because it depends. Each game's different. Yeah.
We have time for a fun house, or are we getting
out of
here?
A quick one.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws Fun House. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Well, we can go quick here because people are chiming in with their heartbreaking memories, right? Houston, heartbreaking loss last night. Reminds you of the Baltimore heartbreaking losses over the years. Different perspectives. Russell and Frederick, a little on the younger side, says, for me, 2014 ALCS, the death by 1,000 paper cuts, all the bloop singles, everything going on with the Royals, who seemed bulletproof at the time. I'd throw 2023 AFC Championship game in there as a close second, given that they were the best team that year and abandoned the run game.
Yeah, and they were favored in that game against Kansas City. And they held them scoreless in the second half of the game and only scored one touchdown, and that was on their first drive. Yeah, the more you think about it, the more agitated you could get. The 2014 Royals series. I grew up hating the Yankees and Red Sox, but I don't think I disliked the team more than I did those Kansas City Royals for 4 games, especially like the Eric Hosmers and the Moustakas of the world. But the 23 AFC Championship game was like, what more do you want us to do? And maybe when Kelce and Mahomes were bullying Tucker in the end zone prior to the game might have been a precursor to that.
Bill and Bayview going back a bit further. NC State, Maryland, 1974, triple overtime thriller.
Wasn't triple overtime. It was not. One overtime.
All right, well, Bill's embellishing in his mind here. He's still a little bitter about it, I guess.
Sure. But so we just talked to Len Umar, who played in the bleeping game, and he's still bitter about it.
All right. And of course, lastly here, someone has to mention the Jeffrey Mayer incident. Didn't really expand here, but my thoughts. In terms of heartbreak, is it on a Cundiff level? Maybe not, but the fairness of it all. Like, if a team beats you, you know, a team's just better than you on any given night, or one pivotal play in the biggest moment of the game. You're upset, it hurts, but you tip your cap. They were better. For this to be umpire-aided, the wrong call, it's not fair. I think it would have been more stomachable if the Yankees just beat the crap out of the Orioles in the first place.
Yeah, well, it was 3-2 Orioles, bottom of the eighth. It should have been one out, bottom of the eighth, instead, because Richie Garcia didn't have the balls to call it fan interference, which it was. He was the only guy in the stadium that didn't see it like that. It was 3-3. And the Orioles eventually lose in extra innings. Bernie Williams hit a homer off Randy Myers. The Orioles did come back and win the next game. That was game one. The Cundiff game was, well, what time are we golfing on Tuesday? You know what I mean? But yeah, that was a horrible call. To this day, I don't think Richie Garcia has even accepted the fact that he blew it, but that was brutal, no doubt about it. And you're right, the Yankees should have just swept them and put us out of our misery, but yeah, David Wells beat them the next day, and then they won three in a row in Baltimore. But anyway, we're not here to talk about the past, man, or are we? News from the Nest, Steve Bisciotti, he wants to talk about the future, like another Super Bowl championship. How close are the Ravens to getting that? Buy or sell, 12:15. Where's the dough? And we'll talk more Ravens. Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, the Ravens wire, bottom of the hour.